Hey, I just want to mention my aunt, who was nifta a month ago, Shendel Dolcher Bas Moshe.
Your father's sister?
No, my mother's sister. Should be either Nishmasa. And we're going to talk now about one of the central sugyas. It's not in Ireland, it's part of what we've been learning. Like a chicken without a head. We're supposed to have a question mark after it. The Torah doesn't. So, Psik Reisha the Ramnichale. What are these concepts and how do they play out? The truth is that there's a tremendous amount of statistics that goes into it. A lot of questions. And I want to kick off by just throwing out a question that Arya Sova asked a couple weeks ago that I actually discussed at length with my father. And his question was the following. The classic example of Davar She'ena Miskaven. We talked about how Shimon holds that Davar She'ena Miskaven on Shabbos, you're doing a certain action which could produce a malacha, but won't definitely produce that malacha. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai holds its mutter on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it's Asr on Shabbos. We saw in Tosis that maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would admit that it's only Asr Midrabanan. But the Machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether Davar She'ena Miskaven is Mutter or Asr on Shabbos. And we also already mentioned that the Rishonim talk about, and the Achronim discuss at length, the fact that this concept of Davar She'ena Miskaven has two layers to it. It has the Kala Torah, Kula layer, that the Torah wants a person to have proper kavana in order to be chayev or to be yoytze, whatever it is. And then there's also the idea of melechus machsheves, which is specific to Shabbos. And this interrelationship itself is complicated with many different shitas and sub-shitas about how the two relate to each other, as one learns from the next perhaps. But this concept of davar she'ena miskaven really is the basis for the next concept, known as psik reisha. Okay, so Rabbi asked the following question. The Gemara talks about this exact shaila. What happens if a person is schlepping a bench across the yard and it may or may not create a furrow, which would be a problem of chirish? So now, is he allowed to do it? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, yes, you may drag it across the yard, because even if it ends up happening, but A, it was not your intention, and B, it wasn't for sure going to happen. So the two factors combined, according to Rabbi Shimon, to say that's mutter on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, your kavanah doesn't really play such a big role, and for sure it's going to at least be usher midrabanan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, davar she'ena miskaven. Psik reisha is that although this is not your declared intention, it's a byproduct of an action that you're doing. You're dragging the bench across the yard, but in a case where the ground is wet and soft enough that it's 100% that you're dragging this furniture across the yard will create the furrows. And now the question becomes, but it's not your intention. You really need to get the chicken to the other side of the road. You just need to be able to say, you don't really care. But at the end of the day, you know it's going to cause the furrows to happen. Classic case. That's the Gemara's case. So if I ask, what happens? I told my father the Eishes Lloyd question. Right? What happened? Lloyd left Sedoim, right? And what did the Maal tell him? Al tabit acharecha. Don't look behind you. And interestingly, who looked behind? His wife. Just a question for the crowd. Derech Agav. It doesn't say Vatabit ishto me acharecha. It says Vatabit ishto me acharov. So I don't have a pshat in that yet.
I have a simple shot.
Bring out what's going on. You imagine Lot's wife turning around and throwing into a pillar of soul, right? But she didn't like turn around. Just she turned around and looked over Lot at what's the significance of that? Behind Lot.
Behind Lot. Lot was in back of her.
Maybe.
He was pushing her.
Maybe. So maybe right, maybe Stein was the first feminist city. I don't know. Okay, but getting back. So why do I call it the H.S. Lloyd question? Because the question is, do you have Do you have alta b'tacharecha, or you have to be looking behind? Like I'm dragging the bench across the yard. Is it my business what's going on behind me right now?
I see what you're asking.
I came in not knowing that it's a psik resha. I have no idea. So do I? And let's say I do look behind me and I see two telltale.
Maybe stop.
What's it called?
Furrows.
Going down. Do I have to stop? Mm-hmm. That's what I asked Rabbi Willick.
That's a good question.
And Rabbi Willick said the Torah does not obligate one to be a mathematician, to be an agronomist, to be an actuary. A person doesn't have to be constantly computing as he goes along. If it looks to him like it's not Dafka going to make a furrow, he can slap it along. He does not have to look behind him. And then he said something that was even more of a chiddush. He said, and even if you see, okay, obviously this is all extremely relative. There's no rule here, really. Even if he sees that, lo and behold, there are two furrows trailing behind, unless there's a very, very clear indication that the continuation of the yard is going to be the same type of ground, it's still not a psik resha. If it's all one and the same, and you see, that's a different story. So he gets to the end of the yard, he can just keep on going. There's two furrows, but who says now it's for sure going to happen? But then, my Abba conceded that if once he gets to the other side, then he can't go back.
Right, because
with the same way. You know, on the way he sits, a little kumzitz Friday night, you know what I'm saying? And then he needs the bench on the other side of the yard. So could he bring it back? But he already saw. He already saw. But then, so what's this? The chiluk between latitude and longitude? I didn't chat this exactly. In other words, on the way there, the inch before was a furrow, but now I assume it changed because in this direction. What? But I bring it back like a foot alongside the previous furrows. Suddenly, I am worried.
I hear.
Each a foot away. Well, what's the difference? I don't know. But for sure, there is no iser to look behind you. There's no chiyuv to look behind you. And even if you look behind you and you don't like what you see, it's not, strictly speaking, going to ask you for continuing. So this is a big chiddush lekula that I didn't get to hear. He's going to listen, Bez Hashem. So that was his question, which is such a pasha question. We should all ask ourselves this question. And the truth really is that we have to ask another question based on this, which is, how do we ever establish that something is a psik resha? How are we building up the data?
Well, the case of psik resha is there's no doubt.
Right.
That's the extreme.
Correct.
Psik resha. No.
Correct.
Extreme resha. Everybody should know.
Psik resha with prejudice. If something can happen, it's going to happen again.
Right.
What are the parameters?
Let's take your example. Could you do it next Friday? Could you do it next Shabbos? Last Shabbos.
Right.
That's a good question.
I do not see. I don't see any reason why it should be mother.
Right. Because you are being
proved last Shabbos.
No. Just
proved last Shabbos.
Happens once.
Right. That's my question. That's tough.
I mean,
because you see,
it's not. It's the same yard. It's the same yard. Yeah. So like, what, it should be different now.
So it's an automatic.
And also, I just want to point out, it's not like I went like this and then hair come out. You went across the entire yard, and the entire yard yielded furrows. It's a little bit of a different case, and we're going to see. I'm going to try to go into a few cases in the Aruch HaShabbos. I almost copied this, but I decided not to. The Aruch HaShabbos, which is a wonderful sefer, has four volumes so far, written by Rabbi Rubin and by Rabbi Gelber on Hilchos Shabbos. And one of the great things about the sefer is they present the core of a sugya, and then they go into it very machmir, actually. But so he talks about different cases about exactly this, where something's on the border, or you're repeating an action, or an action which is extended, and it doesn't just take one go, and it gets to be a little bit hairy. Like, how do you figure out exactly, like we discussed a couple weeks ago, that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to run on the grass. Eventually, your feet are going to cause some grass to come out through all the running. But no one's stopping you from running, not for a minute, not for an hour, not for a day. What? Okay. That's a good point.
No,
but the point is, just forget about the nichole or not nichole, but is this cool? Psik resha? No.
Excuse me.
And oh, see here. So I'll just throw in once we're here. I don't think we're going to get back to it. So I just want to read footnote on page Reish Nun in Perek Lamed of Klali Melechus Shabbos in this Sefer Archa Shabbos. See, he brings the classic case. There's an Isser for a Nazir to cut his ear, and there's also an Isser for a Nazir to pull out his hair. Is he allowed to comb his hair? Is he allowed to scratch his head? So it says. And there's also a Shabbos question of the same nature.
What if Nazir gets lice? I'm serious. You ever had to comb through a kid's hair?
It used to be Matir his nether. I don't know how. That's a good question.
Okay, so now.
Don't become another.
So he says.
Not advisable.
No.
What about if it's not a completely 100%, but it's Karev Levade? So it brings over here that some Rishonim say that when it gets very, very close to Vaday, you're not allowed to do it. And it's almost like you could expect. Havi Kimat Psik Resha V'Asr, Truma Sadeshan, one of the greatest, late Rishonim, you can call them, or in the border of right before the Shulchan Aruch. Havi Kimat Psik Resha V'Asr. He's talking about really, really heavy furniture that you haven't tested it out yet, but it's really heavy. It's almost a psik resha, don't do it. Bir Halacha and Simon Resha and Zayin brings down that similar thing. And then another case.
It also makes sense. If we're talking about his kavana, of course it's psik resha, you cannot have kavana.
Okay, so that we're going to get to soon, the Rabbi Chanan about this, right? We're going to get to this soon.
That would be, so then things like this. It doesn't have to be 100%,
98%. Right.
Whatever.
So, also the case of opening the door, the Gemara said, you don't open the door by, when the candle's there. Mm-hmm. And again, she'enoi vaday she'tichabe, ela b'roi b'mikrim, but most of the time, v'dami lipstick ratio, it's comparable. V'mpneze ha'itziu b'loshen light a lot. The Gemara just says, he cursed someone who would do that. Why did he curse them? You can't say, strictly speaking, Isser. Okay? This is a Meiri, and this is a Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam who said this lashon. Now, but then we get into really sticky cases, and I'll just give two examples. And it's just important to know, in Hilchos Shabbos, this is a tough tightrope to walk. Mm-hmm. What about a case the Rivash has, Chuvas Rivash, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Sheshes, one of the great Rishonim, that he says, there's no psik resha when a person combs his hair.
Yeah.
In the iteration that, b'kol ha'avodas masrik itlosh seyar, if there's a case that, how am I saying this?
Yeah, sure.
The reverse says that someone who combs his hair on Shabbos is a psik resha that he's going to pull the hair out. But if you look carefully what he says, he admits that I don't mean that every single stroke of the comb, you're going to be pulling it out here. And you can separate it into individual actions. And nevertheless, right, the aim situation of the verse Masrek, Elas Asiruk Bechlalo, Yitlo Shtei Sa'aros, Avsha Asiruk Murkav Meharbe Pe'ulo Shalagabi Kol Achas Bifani Atzma, Ein Vados. And he brings a Gemara in Shabbos Nafpe Aleph, that's also a little bit similar. This is a Gemara already. What does the Gemara say? Back in the day, that when someone was a little bit constipated, they didn't have all the kind of intervention they have. They didn't have the suppositories. So what would you use instead of the suppository? It might say you take a pebble and put it at the edge of your digestive system and just scratch a little bit. Right. And that would, stimulate the peristalsis needed to get things moving in your, in your system. Okay? Fine. Now, so says the Gemara, Asr lemashmish b'tzrar, a person's not allowed to use that rock on Shabbos, mishum asharas nimin, because some hair could be pulled out in such a way. One second. And Tosfos there, not the Gemara, but Tosfos, that Fe'av says it's a psik resha. One second. Now, what do we see from Tosfos L'chara? It's not a psik resha. Every time you go like this,
right.
Psik resha, it means person sitting there It's a process till, you know, he gets going. So the entire time, Taisa says it's a psikresha. So you see from Taisa that he's assuming that when you, something just is a continuous process and not just one go, it is a psikresha. Okay? So it gets complicated then. Why in the world does the Shulchan Aruch say I can run on grass? Eventually, I'm going to pull out grass. So I have a stickle of mahalach over here, but I feel like I think the question is stronger than the answer. But what I would say is that when a person runs on the grass, it's not the same grass. So theoretically, he could run for a whole day and not a single blade of grass. The fact that I was running for 1,000 minutes on the grass, it increases the probability that I'm going to pull grass out, but it's not fetching the same place to make it more and more likely. So when I comb my hair, every time I go with a comb, it's the same place that's getting combed.
Right.
Every time it's Mimashmash Betzroa, but Osim Makam. So that same place, when I'm running on the grass, there's no difference probability wise between this and that. Just because I ran 1,000 miles still not means it's more likely now. So I think Mistama, that's
a good chiluk.
Okay, I think Mistama, that's the chiluk. But when was I zeichet to think of this? As I was talking right now, because I was pondering this before. It's a ha'ara in my sefer on the bottom. I wrote, what's the difference between running on grass? And Mislisser Rabim, I think this answer makes sense. And the two examples that we bring, Taga, are different because you're agitating the same place. So even though you could stop and each one is another individual action, there we see we have a rivash and we have a tesis that seems to say that's called a situation when you put it together. Mashiach, when you're running on grass, don't put it together. It's different things.
But does it make a difference that at a certain point you're going to start dragging your feet? People tend to drag their feet the longer.
But then we'll start with that because it's a different type of action.
When does that actually happen? But is that enough, Camino? Is there enough, Camino?
I think this is a good mahal. So that which we saw already, we was brought in the Tzura booklet. You're allowed to run on the grass. And even though so the Rav Shulchan Aruch even said it almost, he basically said it's going to happen eventually. Your toes are going to pull out, even barefoot, your toes are going to pull out the grass. Nevertheless. Okay. So this is a little bit of just what the word means. Say, Croatia, what does the word mean? It means that it has to absolutely happen. And even the Rishonim that are a bit soft about it, or the Rishonim that say that it needs multiple moves, it's because they all have to be in the same place. Okay. Now, let's look at a Gemara and a Tosis. There are two, maybe more than two, there are two notable sugyas with notable Tosis in that discuss similar things. One is a very famous Yeshivish sugya, and one is a famous sugya Masechta Shabbos that deal with the idea of Davar Sheni Miskaven and Psik Resha, where in each place Tosis brings down the famous Shita of the Aruch about Psik Resha, the Loi Nichole. Okay? But where this sugya is really born is in Masechta Shabbos. The way you encounter it, if you go through the yeshiva system, is in Ksubas, and that Vav, there's a big Tosis called Hai Misachariah Din Zaisa. If you have a barrel that has an opening and you kvetch in the seal and it has a little bit of a rag around it. They didn't have in those days, they didn't have rubber, they didn't have the kind of sealants we have. So they would use a rag to absolutely close the opening in the barrel, the little opening. Okay. Problem is that when you play around with it, you squeeze the wine, let's say, out of the cloth.
Even just pulling it out, definition.
So that's what Tosis is discussing, the Gemara discusses, and Tosis discusses, and he brings in the Shittas to Aruch. We have another iteration of this in a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Gimel. So I'm sorry, it came out a little bit gray, but I guess this whole thing is a big gray area, so it's kind of apropos.
Very good.
Now, Kuf Gimel Masechta Shabbos. Yeah, I really enjoyed the experience of looking at a real sefer. Like, as much as Bar Ilan is nice, but makes everything just one big vanilla mush of, so you get a bit of a feel. So let's see what the Mishnah says. We're going to skip to the end of the Mishnah, which is the point that we want to look at. Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. And it says like this.
Second Mishnah. That's what I can. No, it's the first Mishnah rather, and it says like this. Hacharish kol. It's giving me shiurim. You know, the specific malachas start out basically in klal gadol, which is like the end of the samachs and right into the ayins, and then it gives the klalim of. You know, Shgogis and Darshan Miskavin and Shoigig and Rezid, and then it goes into individual malachas in the ensuing Prakim of Sechah Shas. So now we're in Perak HaBoina, but then it's going through other malachas and it's giving Shiurim. Hacharish Kolshu, person who plows just a little bit, Hamanachash, Ramakarsin, Mizarid, Kolshu, these are all the other forms of it. Hamalakin eats him, Imlasakin, Kolshe. If you're gathering wood, if it's to fix it, just for a little bit. In the Hesek, if you're gathering it in order to use as fuel, if you pull off a branch in order to use it as fuel, and you can't even use that branch, not big enough to cook an egg, it wasn't the shear of the malacha, and you're not chayav. Vashal beitza chal, malacha a sovin, if a person pulls out grass, and this is where we're focusing on, im lesakein kolshu, if you need a it's helping you that you pulled it out, even a tiny bit. In the behema, but you're taking it out to feed a behema, kimaloi piagdi has to be a mouthful for a goat. If it's less than a mouthful for a goat, you're pulling it out in order to feed the goat, so then you don't have, you're not going to get the full chiyuv of skila because of doing that. Now the Gemara has a famous case. I remember when I was in the Rebbe and Torah Shraga, so it would remind me of the Menal there. Tanu Rabbanan hatoilesh ulshin. A person who pulls out an herb called olshin, v'hamizarid zrodin. So he pulls it out. Im la'achila, if it's in order to eat, the shiris kegregoris. Im la'behema, if it's not for him to eat, but it's for the behema to eat, gimla piagdi, goes through a bunch of shirim, and then, let's continue. In lehesik, kedei levashel beitzakala. In leyapis is akarka, which is lesakin. If it's in order to just make the terrain nicer, you're pulling out something that's a weeder that's not growing in the right place. Kol shein, even the tiniest bit is chayev. Why? Because that's the piece of grass that's bothering you. You're not taking it out for the purpose of feeding a gedi. You're taking it out in order to make the karka look better. So the little bit that you did is fine. It's enough to be mechayev you, Rabbo. I'm sorry. Atu kulu lor liyapas l'karkaninu. Fret the Gemara. I don't understand. Anytime there's stuff growing in the ground, when I pull it out, right, I end up just making the ground look a little more. Yes. So the Gemara says, Rabba v'Rav Yosef, the Amri Tarvayu, Rabba Yosef said, you're right. Really, all these examples, if I'm also being miyapa the karka, so then I'm also going to be chayiv, even less than the shear. So what's the case that the Mishnah is talking about, that you have to have a shear, kimloi piagdi, or all the other shearim for what I need it for, to levashal beitzakal, all these things? It's a case where it's be'agam shanu. It's in a meadow, a swamp. No one really cares. It's not helping anyone. No one's looking at the grass. So it doesn't have that impact. It doesn't have that purpose. It doesn't have that chashivas, and therefore we're not looking at the tiny bit you pulled out because no one cares how it looks, no one pays attention. So now the Gemara says, Abaye Omar. No. Afilu tema bisada. I have a case that you could even say it's actually in a field that's much more cultivated and much more specific looking. And you don't have to come on to say, like Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say, that it's in the wild. It could even be in someone's cultivated field. What's the case where it could be in someone's field and I still don't care that you pulled out the grass and it's only when you have kumle piagdi, etc.? Oh. Who could go into loika mechaven? And it's like in a case where you're not mechaven that for it to actually for it to make the sada look nicer. Fret the Gemara, but that can't ever be. V'ha'abaye v'rova, is it not true that abaye v'rova the amri tarvayu? That even Rav Shimon, who says by Davar Shein Miskaven that it's mutter, he's moider Rav Shimon, the psik reishay, that when you cut off a chicken's head, v'lo yamos, and you say, well, it's not going to die. That's usher. I don't care that you quote not mechaben because you still chayav anyway. So here also, I pull out grass from the ground. I can't say I wasn't mechaben to miyap the karka. I did it. It's happening. It's what I'm doing really. So the Gemara says, loy tzricha. No, what I'm saying is necessary, meaning it's correct, because there's one caveat over here. The ka'avid be'ara dechavre. That he's pulling it out in his friend's field.
And he doesn't care.
In his friend's field. Rashi says, be'ara dechavre, loy ichpas lei liapos. He doesn't care.
Right.
He doesn't care that it's making it nice.
What did the Gemara just say? The Gemara told us some very, very powerful statements.
The Gemara says that Abai is able to say that when you're not mechaving, in other words, there's a case you're not mechaving, even when it's a secretion. What is that case? That case is that although you're aware it's going to happen, it makes absolutely no difference to you in the world. Okay? And therefore, Tanur Rabbanan, HaTorah, v'chulei, v'chulei, v'chulei. And then it says, Im liyapis zakarka, kol shein. So Gemara says, aren't they all liyapis zakarka, and you should be chayav for it? So Gemara says, no. The second text that we're working with is that it's somebody else's field. Someone else's field, even though it might be a psikresha. Nevertheless, you're not chayav.
Like we said the other week, you don't want chickens to die.
I'm sorry?
You don't want, we're the same how, with the chicken, it's just the same really, because you don't really want chicken to die. You just want a toy.
That's what it seems, right. Okay, so now, as of Hashem, let's get a glimpse of this.
You don't want a toy with a chicken attached to it.
The chicken also wants a live
chicken.
You have one less chicken in your coop now to lay you eggs. You're not happy about that.
Okay.
Gemara doesn't give that example.
So let's see. Okay. Loi tzricha, the aver be'ara the chavre. You did it in your friend's field. You pulled out those pulshin. You pulled out that vegetation. And therefore, the only way you're going to be chayav is if you pull out a sufficient amount to serve the purpose of the eating for you or for the animal, whatever it is. But in terms of the landscaping part of it, so if it was your field, even in the culture, you're chayav.
You wouldn't complain.
But in your friend's fields, where you could care whether his field looks nice or not, so it's not, the creation is still going to let it be considered davar shein miskaven. Piresh ba'aruch. Okay, the famous Rav Nosson Bala Aruch from Rome. So what does he say? The b'psik reshe deloy nichale. That in a psik ratio, here's a psik ratio, it's going to happen for sure. But what, it's in someone else's field, then you could care. So he coins this expression, deloy nichale, right? The Gemara really, brings it in. Rashi has deloy ichpasle. Kegoin de ka'ovid ba'ara de chavre. Who kegoin be'acher she'eino oyavoy. Tosis throws in, this is very strong. Tosis says, if it actually belongs to somebody else, but it's nice for you, if this guy's field looks nice, it doesn't help that it's somebody else's. It has to be someone that, at best, you have complete apathy about how his field looks. Maybe even helps if it's your neighbor who you don't like so much. Right?
He's still a chaver.
Right. I'm not recommending it, but the point is, the point is that Tosis says straight up that if you kind of would be happy if you wouldn't mow his lawn. That you wouldn't do.
Yeah.
But you're happy if it looks nice. So then it doesn't help. That's not the Gemara's case. The Gemara's case is mamish. Going by Acher She'ena Oyavoy. Right? You're not really like such a friend of his.
The grass is greener.
V'sha'as milo she'en lo ha'ano mutter lechalchilo v'afilu iser de'abonon lecha. He brings another case.
Wow.
We all know that you have an iser of Hishomer b'nega ha'tzaras, which
right.
has multiple meanings, and one of them is one may not remove a nega tzaras.
Right.
He rather must ask the kohen what his status right. is, and has to play out according to what you see in Pashas Tazria Mitzrayim. but you can't go and just remove the questionable nega that you have. But the halacha is, although that's a lav, there is a time where you do it. What is that? Let's say a baby is born, and on the erla is a nega. So the lav of Hishamar b'nega atzaras is pushed away by the assay of b'yom hashmini himo b'sar alasa himo himo lachem kol zachar. So it pushes it away. So he says, "Akoytis b'heres b'sha'as mila she'ein lehana muta lechadchila va'afilu isid rabbanon leka." So now he brings it in, and I don't want to go here so much because it's a little bit complicated. Who's doing it? Meaning, it's the mayal. The mayal doesn't care. As opposed to like a case where a person's like Avraham Avinu gave himself a bris mila, let's say. So then you start to clear. But anyway, the point is the Baal Arach puts these in the same category, and he says, "Atarlish Ulshin, this is a rule of thumb. The whole concept of Psik Resha stops when it actually doesn't make a difference to you at all." And it's based on this Gemara. The Gemara said it straight out. That if you don't care that the landscaping should look nice, the Psik Resha aspect that you know for sure is going to happen does not take it up a notch and make it Aser. That even though we all by and Rabbi Moedi that Psik Resha is, even according to Rabbi Shimon, he's going to agree to Rabbi Yehuda that it's Aser, that's only when there's something in it for you. If you absolutely don't care, you're not interested, so then... So
in the case of the Pharaoh, since it really doesn't matter to him that there are two channels in the earth, that it would be okay.
100%. According to the Baal Aruch, but for whatever reason, I really couldn't care less that it has, so it knocks it down to Lanichale.
Would it be even better if they would be upset if there was two pharaohs in the earth?
Yes. Yeah.
Even better, no?
Yeah. That's the idea. Is it more? The point is, it's that much more vadai that it's not Nichale.
So today, if we don't 100%. Plow our backyard, I mean,
I'm saying you're saying very, very good. And I think Ari is saying a very, very critical thing over here. That nowadays it's not the derech. I mean, maybe I know here in Eretz Yisrael, maybe people are, you know, we have the mitzvahs of Atzilus Ba'aretz, and we have the connection to the land. I think more than if we live in Teaneck or in.
We have fake grace, so it doesn't matter.
That's a good point. You know, maybe it's
sleep. You don't want the furrow.
I do.
Yeah, you don't want the furrow.
Okay, so now basically, the Aruch, Baal Aruch says this Gemara is teaching us a lesson, is teaching us that when it doesn't make a difference to you, the Issa of Psik Resha doesn't apply, and it's straight up in the Gemara. Abaye, don't we say that even though you're not really mechaven for it, so it's Aser anyway. Gemara says, "Letzricha dekaavid ba'ara dechavre." It's in a place where you don't care. But the way the Aruch interprets that is, he says, "Dekaavid ba'ara dechavre." Yeah, and no, I'm sorry. The Gemara says. The Gemara says a lashon of.
The Gemara concludes. No one argues.
The Gemara is lashon right, but the Gemara's lashon is earlier. Yeah, where is that?
One line
above it. Now, what does it mean? Lo mechaven means that it's aret dechavre. Right. Oh. So, in other words, by an agam, for sure, I'm not mechaven. Right. But here is where the Gemara seems to say, and we're going to get to Rav Chanan, that the mechanics that is at work, what mechanics are at work to create a new category of psik resha? What's going on? In other words, I know that you know what's going to happen. So what part of the equation got compromised? The Gemara seems to indicate, and we're soon going to see, soon, hopefully see Rav Chanan, that what's going on here is that you have kavana.
The intention.
You have kavana. And we have a case where you're spared from having kavana, and the Gemara says, how does that play out when it's someone else's field? So the implication seems to be, like one side of Rabbi Chanan, that what this really means is, who are you kidding? Right? If this is really going to happen, so you have Kavana. And now, according to the Aruch, we take a step back and say, but was it actually nothing in it for you? The
to pure statistic that says it's for sure going to happen is not able to create the Isser by itself. There needs to be a motivation. Not just an awareness. There needs to be some element of motivation. Awareness is not enough. Okay, so that's the chiddush of the Bala Aruch, that he has a Gemara, and he says, the Gemara calls you Mechaven, or not Mechaven. So, I as a psychic reaction, how could I not be Mechaven? So you see that that's what's at work. What does he say? The answer is, the Kavana is not pure Kavana. It has to have a smidgen of Ratzon. And as soon as there's absolutely no interest on my part, then even though I know it's happening, the awareness, the idea is there, it's not called a psychiatry in the sense that's not
happening. This is very convincing. Why isn't this a halacha? He seems he has a Gemara.
Oh, very good. Okay. Let's see. Very good.
It's not halacha. We don't hold this way, but why not?
Not even so push it. You have to see the Shulchan Aruch Kaf. Okay. Let's see. So now.
The Rabbanans, remember? All by the Rabbanans we learned in the Tzurba. Not by the Oraisas.
Sigrishas and Melichai. So we'll see how Tosis views it, and we'll see the Shulchan Aruch. For sure, it's a Svara that is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, straight up in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shen Kaf. And the question is, what is he really saying over
that's
there?
That's the whole thing with the motion detectors.
Right, 100%. I'm saying the Shulchan Aruch seems to be a little bit going back and forth. And then the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish over there, it's unclear exactly how the Shulchan Aruch is looking at it. So let's see over here. Let's just see a few more. So now. And then he says. And then he says that he was also Matir, Chavas Shepikaku, Bepishtan, Lahasir Apakak, Velimshach Mimenu Yayin Beshabbos. You can take out the seal and get wine from it on Shabbos. Af Api. The last words on the line are Shin Alf Alf. She E F Shar.
Where are you, Rabbi?
A couple lines further in Tosis. Last word line is She E F Shar. Even though it's impossible, Shle Yischot Kishameser Apkak. When you take out that rag, right, you're going to be squeezing it a little bit. V'Havi Psik Reishay. Kiyum the Ein or Nene B'Srita Zois. Since you're not Nene from that Srita, why? Shehayayin Noifal Aretz. Because the wine that's squeezed out of it as you take it out or put it in, it's just falling on the ground. I'm not actually going to drink it. Mutter. It's mutter. Another example of
what I was saying. Back into the barrel.
Back in the barrel is total parv. As opposed to if it falls into a bowl or a cup.
I'm saying when you pull the rag out, why is it falling on the ground? That's my question. Is there schita falling on the ground? I'm trying to understand the concept.
There's a bowl inside the barrel.
It's on the side of the barrel.
Yeah.
It's on the top.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
okay.
Right.
It's on the side. Oh, not on the
top. Really cool?
Yeah, of course.
On the side of the barrel?
That's where you get that thing.
That's
a bunghole. A bunghole.
A hole on the side of the barrel of wine.
The bunghole.
How do you know?
Do you know that from like...
Because they're usually from either side.
From fireside events.
No, I got
it on the end of my...
Destination schemes. What?
We had a whole sat-nav in Milwaukee.
A who?
Milwaukee for a work thing.
Okay, listen, whoever doesn't know bunghole just doesn't know secretion. Okay.
In Milwaukee?
The Ain are nearest this place. His last word on the line is nearer, 10 lines down.
Are we talking Laverne?
This does not seem to be true. We disagree with the Bala Aruch, says Tosis. The map is Mursa. The halacha is that if a person has a blister or a pimple that's painful because it's gorged with pus or liquid, okay? So what's the din? Map is mursa lahoyti min aleicha. If a person actually punctures the pimple or the blister in order to get out what is inside and relieve the pressure and the pain, haya aser. It would have been aser, says Taisvis. Ilav mishum tzara de gufa. The Gemara brings a svara of it's causing you tzar,
right, and
therefore you're allowed to pop it. But says Taisis, you see from the Gemara, if Tzara the Gufa is part of the Svara, had I just had a blister, and I decided, you know what, the time has come, and I want to pop it, it wouldn't be mutter. Why? Because I'm creating an opening, which I'm not allowed to create because it's a type of boina. My whole reason I'm doing it
is to get out the liquid, and I don't care about, right? It's a psik resha deloy nichalei, because I don't care about creating it open. Sometimes you put in one of these ports, and you know, and what's it called? The
shunt.
Yeah, shunt, or what's another word for it these days?
Yeah.
In a person's arm, like, you know,
yeah,
to give them IVs.
Yeah, I don't know the word.
What's called port?
The stent.
Port?
Stent,
the port. What?
Pick line.
Okay. All these things. So that's literally, could be bunny the rice. Right?
On a human?
A human being, it's a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. It says about Hashem, even Hashem is at Seila, Vayiskar Vasatachtan, the Gemara proves from there at this point.
So then maybe Psik Rishad Olo Nichle is Asr.
One second. So if you're allowed to pop the pimple, if you're trying to create an opening which is going to serve you time and time again, that's Asr.
Right.
But if you just want to empty the pus out and you not really care about the opening, then the Gemara says it's mutter, but it says it didn't do that. It said, since it's tzara de gufa, because it hurts you, because it's painful, that's why you're allowed to do it. But if the Aruch was really right, it would be a classic situation. I don't care about the hole now, I just want to get the liquid out. So if that's the case, if the Aruch was really right, it says, why would the Gemara need tzara de gufa? So raya against the Aruch. So here, even though the guy doesn't really care about creating the hole in the opening of that blister, he just wants to make a hole so that the liquid could emerge. So then, it should be mutter, clear green light. It must be that the fact that the Gemara needs to bring in Tzara, the Gufa, is a raya, that the Aruch is not completely right, that it doesn't mamash make a mutter, because the Gemara wouldn't need that Tzvara. Heini heavy Rashba, Yimachat Shal Yakei. I don't go through all the things.
Does your Aruch answer?
No, this is a point, because the fact that it's Malach Shalat Shal Gufa, how does that really...
I was about to skip. I didn't realize. Tyson mentioned this twice, and I was about to skip a punchline of Tyson. So let's just see this, okay? So then we have another one. What's the other case? Machat shal yad litel boyas hakoitz. Okay, the mukila behanechnokin kirab shimon davar malachashen and tzricha the gufa patar aleha umitzum tzara. Shari, what's the case that you're using a needle to get a splinter out of your finger, and that could cause
blood
to emerge?
Ah,
okay.
So it's chavala.
As far as bone of Adam, and Rebbe has said that hairspray and Shabbos, brushing the hairspray and Shabbos or gel with bone, creating this nice.
Doing
what?
Hair gel. Hair gel. Travis is
going
to
be creating this beautiful structure in your hair.
Not me. He would be
dead.
He definitely got the land of the
show.
What
do
you say? Like the farms.
Hey.
What?
Okay. So.
Temporary,
oh.
Falls down.
Now,
if it's hard,
hairspray.
Hairspray makes it hard.
So he says you can't use it?
It's a sick ratio. You know it's going. You know blood's going to come out.
Right. So this is the sugi over here is talking about the iser misa of a person is choyvel ba'aviv v'ima.
Right.
Makavim and Matsumas. And that's how it gets into this thing. What happens if your father has a splinter? And then it goes back to the Sugya of Shabbos, which is Machat Shaliyah, which is a Mishnah later on.
Could you take a splinter?
Yeah, that's a good question. Father? Could you?
What?
Could you take a splinter out of your father's finger?
No.
Even if he said, please, son, take it out for me.
For your father?
The Gemara says, you're not going to give your father a haircut.
You're not going to give your father a haircut?
I'm not giving your father a haircut.
Why not?
Because
you may end up
occasionally through that causes a little blood to come out.
Really?
If
the Willick family, whoever was privileged, any Marsha Kolel alumni here? Marsha Kolel was well known.
You can just push your way in there.
You know, at a certain stage of my father's career there, that Rabbi Willig would only play with his sons on his team. He played basketball, his sons had to be on his team. For this reason, straight up. God forbid, you go up against your father taking defense, give him a patch, and it's a chi of Misa.
Can I just say I would pay
serious basketball is not entirely no contact sport. It's not baseball.
Right.
Basketball is a contact sport.
Even if there's no kapana to injure your father. By accident, I followed you.
Dr. J, the drama W.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So the Gemara didn't, you know, the Gemara didn't have the basketball. But, fine. So now, Mishulik Tan La Halam, Mesach HaShavis, Berkal HaKilim, okay. It's a sugya of mekalka b'chabura that is a machlokes tanaim about that as well. The point is though that what are we seeing from over here? Says the Gemara that which you could use it. Is like Rav Shimon, the Amar Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa Pater Aleha. Umishum Tzara Shari. One second. So the Pesach just said something over here. There's a similar type of case. A similar type of case that you're
right.
But that you're going to cause blood to flow when you're taking out the splinter. Mm-hmm. But there's another issue over here. The reason I need to go under the skin and cut through a blood vessel is not to do that. It's really to get to the splinter. that's embedded and to remove it. So it comes out that it's what you call a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Like when you dig a hole in order to get the dirt, you need a lot of dirt, you don't need the hole. But in order to be able to get the dirt, the hole has to form. So someone asks you what you're doing, you could say I'm digging a hole, but the intent,
right?
And you're going to do the malacha. Sorry,
yeah.
But the intent is going to be is something different. Is I'm digging a hole in order to use the dirt, not in order to put something into the hole. So now, pater aleh, your pater, and now adding mishum tzara, since you have tzara degufa shari.
And we're not bringing up Sefer Pikuach Nefesh or anything like that.
Okay, one second.
Splinter if it gets infected.
Okay, one second.
Says Tosfos, "V'hada ka'amar le'tzricha da'aver ba'arav ha'avrei na'ar gemara, haynu d'le mechayev chatas aval yisura ika." So Tosfos just turned this sugya upside down. What did he say? He said the following thing.
Still up.
Look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Look to see that you have psik resha, the loy michale type of thing.
Yeah.
And you have tzara guf. Mm-hmm. And look at our Gemara, and the Gemara which seems to be saying exactly what the Aruch says, is not really saying that. Mm-hmm. It's saying that because of the fact that it's already mitigated because of what? Because you don't care. Yeah? The other ba'ar the chav, right? Hain de lo mechayev chatos, aval yisura ika. All we were talking about here, if you look carefully at the braisa, hatelish ulshin v'am, izayar zon, v'chulei, all those things, k'dei levash l'beit zekala, v'chulei v'yadi, it's saying it's chayev. It's chayev. So the case that we're trying to avoid is a case where you are not chayev. Says Tosfos lahadam that the Gemara never happened that our Gemara said that when you have a psik ratio the lenichale that it's mutter. All it was saying is that you're not chayev.
Right.
So you have the in between stage of psik lenichale being aser midrabanan, and he compares it to the case in Sanhedrin, and he says that that's why we need tzar haguf over here, and it's not good enough. Just to straight up say like if the Aruch was right, why would the Gemara have to bring in these examples? Tzar Aguf, why? Mm-hmm. It should be mutter because Tzikr Nishlo Nichalei.
That's the next Tosfos on the bottom. He says.
Okay.
Very good.
If you look at the Ma'am Kaima, so it mentions both Tosfos in both the long one and the one liner.
The one line is a continuation of what we just said.
Sort of, right? And he even says it also in the end of this place. Okay, then he talks about a fascinating case of mezalf and tipas. What happens if a person's menadev wine for the mezbeach? Mm-hmm. Now you can't give your own wine for nesachim because the nesachim have to come from Trumas Halishka, from the Machzah Shekel. Yeah. So if I'm menadev wine to the Beis Hamikdash, what do I do with it? Yeah. If it's in the mezbeach, so it says you could spritz wine on the karbanos as they're burning. But we know if you learn kachim, you know there is an iser in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, Eish Tamid, Tukar al Mizbeach, Lo Yisichber. There's an iser d'oraisa to put the fire in the Mizbeach out, and even a b'mitzas is an iser. So now the question is, how could you be mezalef wine on the karbonis as they're burning? All right, it's going to land on the fire, and it goes, and that's an iser.
But the alcohol.
Compensate for it. Okay, I like that. I like that. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'ka mechaba." How we say "mezalf al-gabe ishin"? First word in line is "v'ha'ka mechaba." The Gemara says, "Umuki lo kerab shimin." The Amar Davar Shem is gabe mutter. Right. So Tosis says, one second. So if you hold like the Aruch, this Gemara works fine. But if you hold like me, it's a problem. The Aruch would say, "Yeah, it's a situation. I don't want it to go out Afka, so it's mutter." So says Tosis, what am I going to do with this Gemara? Right, it's Davar Shem Iskav, but isn't it Pesuk Reisha? So Tosis says, well, no. You could say Myri Deloy Havi Suffolk Deloy Pesuk Reisha Shemazal for Betipas Dakas. You don't take you don't like take a whole thing dumping on. Rather, you do it in such tiny little drops. It makes no effect. Or he says Inami Al Gabe Hoyvarim. If you actually locate a limb that's sitting in the fire and you just spritz on the limb without actually hitting the flame, then it's possible that it won't end up putting the extinguishing, even in part, the flame. Okay? So therefore, so that's how Tosfos dodges the Gemara that seems to be a raya for the Aruch. Okay. The rest of this is also critical, but we're not. It's not exactly the subject we're talking about here. Okay, so now, but I want to get. I thought he said in the first. The second Tosis is so critical as well. The Ara de Chavre, the Gemara says that Rabbi and Rava say that the case over here that you are not going to be chayev is when you're pulling out the grass, whatever it is, from your friend's field. Says Taisus Pirish the have him malacha she'ein tzricha legufa.
No,
Taisus says the chayr. This is a big raya for the arch. That's a big raya for the arch. Taisus says no. Let me explain to you what's going on over here. When you are doing the malacha of Tarlish for any of these reasons, you have a shear, it's an iser, but when you do it in a field where you really don't care, right? So then what's happening? Again, the case is that you took a shear, which would only be enough of a shear when you are landscaping, because that's nothing. Tiny bit is landscaping. If I'm doing the malacha of landscaping, but the reason I'm doing it is to eat, and it's only a byproduct, that's the Gemara's case. The Gemara asks, how do you give a shir kemalot piagdi anytime I pull out one blade of grass on landscaping? So the Gemara said, no, because I told him it's in your friend's field or in agam. The agam is the easier case, it's in the meadow. But in your friend's field, even though you're doing a malacha now of beautifying his field, but since the real reason you're doing it is why?
To eat.
And you're also beautifying the field. So therefore you're not chayav. Aye, it's also beautifying the field, but it's your friends, you don't care. Says Taisus, let me give that another definition. Let me call it something else. Let me call it malacha she'en tzrich legufa. I'm consciously pulling it out. That's some. I know I'm doing that malacha. But
because of the fact that the reason I want it is to feed myself, to feed an animal, and it's nowhere near the shear. So mitzad that, it's not the shear. And mitzad landscaping, I don't care. Okay? So in other words, not like the Aruch said, it's a lachshay tzrichal gufa, that it's a, I'm sorry, it's a psikamation l'nichale, rather says Taisus, I have another formulation. My formulation is that you're doing it in order to eat, and you're nowhere near that amount, and the only other reason you could need to be pulling this out is to beautify the field. But that's not doing the melach of what it's meant to be doing, because the shear doesn't match up. Okay? So it's fine. So
the chiddush is that you need the lamechale in order for it to be melach ha-shatz ha-lagufa. If it would be secretion, it would be your own field, even if I'm not doing it too. I mean, if I'm taking the earth because I want the earth, not because I want the whole, but if I'm happy with the whole, it's still, I'm
right.
Assuming from this,
right.
From this,
right.
It's still melach ha-shatz ha-lagufa,
right.
Even if that's not my intention.
Okay, so the truth is we have to go into each
melach
ha-lagufa.
That's
what
the
Bashar
is having, melach ha-shatz ha-lagufa.
Right.
Melach ha-gufa
has
to be
right.
That I'm not interested in that melach ha-gufa.
Right.
That outside. That,
right. So I already see this shir is going to have to continue.
Yeah.
It's
a big sukkah.
This Tosis that we just saw has a fascinating. I was talking to my father about this also. There's a Rabbi Kiva Eger and a Maharsha on this Tosis that explains what it means. But then I just found last night there's another Rabbi Kiva Eger somewhere else who says a totally different pshat. So we're going to have to come back to this the next time. Now I'm trying to figure out what we could end with. I feel like it's we have to at least see the Rabbi Chanan. It's a whole page, but it's huge print.
We like
and Rabbi Chanan is going to introduce us to maybe the most famous, this page, this is maybe the most famous Chakira Shiloh that has to do with the tipping point between Davar Shein Miskaven and Psik Resha, what happened? And as I tried to play up how it seems to actually come out from the Gemara, the first Seder of Elchanan says. Let's see. And he's in the Sukkah and Ksubis about also this barrel with the rag and it's squeezing out. And he brings that there's a machloikas between the Aruch and the rest of the Baalei Tosfos. So it's the same machloikas as in Aruch Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Kuf Gimel is in Ksubis and Daf Vav. So now we have a machlekes. What does the Aruch hold? The Aruch says that if I don't care, the psik resha is not going to aser. And Taisa says, of course it's going to aser. And all your examples that you brought it because there's another mitigating factor like Tzara the Gufa that's enabling to push it over from aser the Rabbanan to mutter gamer. But there's no such thing as the psik resha being mutter even if it's not nichalei. It's just going to mitigate it. That's Taisa. And the Aruch says, no, it's mutter. So the Rav Chanan has a fascinating chakira, and he wants to claim that this machlekes between the Aruch and Tosfos is based on this. So let's just see the chakira, and we're going to have to come back to it. Says Tosfos, he says like this. Niretz, the third line, ta machlekes zu, between the Aruch and Tosfos, betama, tali betama, the moider of Shimon b'sik resha. What does it mean that Rav Shimon says, I agree to Rav Yehuda when it comes to b'sik resha, that even though it's b'etzem and davar shein miskaven, but in the case of Psik Resha, it's Aser. The Yesh Lefayash Bazesh Shnei Ta'amim. And this takes, you have to have your Lundus gear sharpened over here. Aleph, going bin Nazir, Chayfeif, Avaloy Sayrek. The halacha is, the Mishnah says in Masechas Nazir, a Nazir is allowed to wash his hair and to scrub his hair. Avaloy Sayrek, but he can't comb his hair. This Srika have a Psik Resha, because when you comb your hair, it's a Psik Resha that the hair is going to be pulled out, and that's an Issa Deraisa for a Nazir. Yesh Loimar, so says Rabbi Chanan, why, let's give the easiest word for that, Kivan Sheyodeya, since a person knows the Bistrikasa, when he combs his hair, Yitloish Sa'arais, he's going to pull out hairs, Mikri Mechavin Letlisha, he is, by hook or by crook, he's Mechavin, that he's pulling out the hair, Aval Heicha Deloi Nicholei, Al Kochach Eina Mechavin. In other words, says Rabbi Chanan, the classic Psik Resha that's Aser, even though it's not my real Kavana, is because there's some benefit that I derive from what I'm doing.
From the final result.
The final result.
And this that benefit, coupled with the fact that it's for sure going to happen makes it that what I really am saying is in some place, in some way, shape, or form, I'm being mechava. In other words, a person, what's the example? What's a good example? Like with the case of the Mr. Chayyim, as I say, squeezing out a little wine, right? Squeezing out a little wine. So if the wine is going into a receptacle, I'm gaining from it. I didn't really open the barrel to get the wine that's absorbed in the rag that's sealing the barrel. I opened the barrel to pour out a whole pitcher. It's silly to say that the reason I opened the barrel is to get those few drops. But lemaisa, when those few drops come out and it goes into my cup as well, that's good. That's good. So on one hand, it's not my main kavana. On the other hand, the fact that it helps me creates a certain level of kavana, and that's what happens. Basically, Psik Resha makes it that it's not a davar she'ein a miskaven, but it's a davar she'miskaven. That's Rabbi Chanan's first side, and that's what the Gemara seems to say, whoever remembers how the Gemara said, that it's called a davar she'ein a miskaven. Right? What do you mean? Yeah, it's called a davar miskaven when you have some benefit from it. So, says Rabbi Chanan, where does the Aruch come in over here? How does he know that it's a psik resha, the loy nichalei, that it's mutter? Because it's not just, by psik resha, it's not just that I had yediya that it's going to happen. It's that I had yediya it's going to happen, and memela that gave me a certain, you know, a stupid example maybe. You know, you're driving, you're a good Samaritan, you're driving on the highway, and you see a car on the side of the road, or you see something going on. See, you punch it on the Waze, right?
Yeah.
Now, the Waze has a great psychology. I don't know if you ever noticed this. How many people, by a show of hands, how many people have hit the Waze thing, still there, not there anymore, when there's a car on the side of the road, and you hit the thing to show that it's still there?
You do?
Yeah. I do.
Okay, I've done it many times. I've often pondered the fact, this is just an aside, that Waze knows how to give petty psychological rewards to incentivize people.
Yeah.
So people have their identities on Waze, and they have their caricatures, and you have a crown, or you have all kinds of different status for how much you're involved in Waze. Right? People have all this, right?
But there's another
payback over here. Who noticed that when you push the thing, you hear ring?
Yeah.
Okay? That, and I have a whole theory. If I ever talk to Waze about it,
what's that all about?
If you notice when you push the thing, that's still there or when it's not there, it doesn't go right away. There's a disturbingly long wait that gets you wondering, did I actually hit it effectively? And then it goes like that. And I say it's push it. That the reason they do that is to keep you focused on the Waze, though, that you're waiting to hear that bring, because it's not instant gratification. You have that place of a suffix where after 3 seconds it still didn't bring. Well, maybe I have to hit it again. And then right then it goes, bring. That's my take on it. Maybe it's wrong. But the point is that it gets to be, why did I do that? There's a little something in there that I got addicted to the bring. Even though really what I want to say is the car's on the side of the road. So it's a little bit like I'm taking a whole bucket out of this barrel of wine. Those 3 drops, does it make a difference? Is that why I opened it? No. But Lamaisa is falling into the bucket also.
Because you thought of this ingenious thing to put a cup down there. So you don't.
Or maybe that's actually the cup that you want to pour from, but also the seal is going to go into the same cup that you're holding for the flow. The seal that gets squeezed is also going to the same place. Okay? So my point I'm trying to say is that what the Aruch is saying is that it's not just yediya, it's ratzon, and it ends up becoming kavana. It becomes from being not at all what I have in mind to be it's not bissel what I have in mind, and that says the Rebbe Chanan is why if I completely am not interested in the byproduct, then says the Aruch that I'm good. If I couldn't care less about this wine, because you know what this is happening with the wine that squeezes out of the seal, it's falling onto the floor. Says the Aruch, it's mutter, because the whole tipping point is that the fact that I know for sure it's going to happen brings about some kind of Indian, some kind of interest that I have. And when I have absolutely no interest and I'm totally sealed off from being interested, then all the idea in the world that it's for sure going to happen doesn't make me to be mechaven for it.
It's irrelevant to me. Mm-hmm. But when I have some kind of motivation, it's going to be relevant. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that this Tzad Rabbi Chana goes together with what the Gemara seems to say here and explains the Aruch. I think what we should do now is maybe by show of hands, you tell me. I think the second side we should save for next week.
Yeah.
Anyone argues? No, the second side is more is very, very geschmack. It's complicated. It's nuanced. Yeah. And in terms of the